join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head, number 244. We've a lot to get on with today. I have to go out and buy a sack of potatoes. I was listening back to yesterday's show and that reminded me. Potatoes, because we don't want to have a mini potato famine in the mini ecosystem that is my household, even if it can be easily fixed by going to the shop. I don't want to be one evening sitting there stricken by a desire for potatoes and there not to be any, because that would bring back ancestral memories for me, quite frankly. My great-great-grandmother back in the 1850s, she got up one morning and she said, "Oh, I'm going to put on some spuds for the breakfast." And of course, in those days, you just went out to the field behind your house and you got them. But she went out to the field one morning and there was nothing there. There was no potatoes. They'd all been stricken down with blight. It's basically the potato equivalent of AIDS. If a potato gets the potato blight, then it might as well have been out sleeping with a prostitute with no condom on, and the prostitute being not from Amsterdam and not having been properly tested and screened. Basically, what I'm saying is, if you're eating one of those potatoes, then you're a bit of a slut. You've slept with all the potatoes that potato has slept with, so you're going to, frankly, you're going to end up dead. So that's what happened to a lot of people. They stepped with the potato, and loads of people died. There was half the population of Ireland died. But we spoke about that yesterday. I don't want to go on about it. I don't want to make you think I'm obsessed with potatoes. But frankly, I am. I went to McDonald's earlier today, and I had a bag of French fries, French fried potatoes. They like to put signs up in McDonald's here saying, "All our beef is Irish." I can't remember whether they say all their potatoes are Irish, but I can't imagine that they just import them in an aeroplane. There's the excess baggage systems these days. I went to South Africa once and came back with loads of stuff, and they've charged me £400 or euros or whatever it was in excess baggage. They said, "You've too much baggage there, and I'm damn well going to make you pay for it." So I got out my money and I said, "How much do I have to give you?" And she says, "Well, give me the amount. Let's see. Now, come to think of it, most of your excess baggage is coins that you're carrying, so there might be some easy solution to this." So I told her about that for a minute. So I went and then I went to the bank and I said, "I've got these coins. Apparently, they're very heavy. I could use them to pay the excess baggage on the coins, but that would seem a little pointless." Although I would say it served the purpose of getting me onto this frigging plane and getting me past all this bureaucracy, but I can't help thinking there's a cheaper way of going about it. So the bank said, "I don't know what you're talking about. This is South Africa. I only speak South African. Speak to me in South African, please." So I said, "I think you'll find that English is quite a dominant language here. And seeing as how this is an airport, there's bound to be someone here who speaks English." And then she said, "Come to think of it, you're right. I do speak English now that you mention it. By the way, what do you think of our breakfasts?" And I said, "They're absolutely fucking disgusting. I went out on safari the other day and we went to some weird village out the middle of nowhere where they have a tourist centre, but they serve local breakfasts, and they have weird versions of sausages and weird breakfast meats and disgusting bread." But I didn't want to complain, seeing as how there's been all these famines on this continent. I thought it would be a bit tasteless. I'll have Bob Geldof coming down on me like a ton of bricks, and he'll say, "Do you not remember the time when you couldn't find a potato for love or money?" And these people have the same problem here. Now, admittedly, that's up in Ethiopia. It's not here. But they have the problem with the Nelson Mandela going to jail and all that stuff. So I said, "I suppose you're right." He's not supposed to hear me breathing on the microphone, so I need to just, we're still in test transmission mode here, so don't panic if I have to make some adjustments. we learn it as we go along. We learn it over the next few editions of Into Your Head. And frankly, nobody died. Well, now that I don't want... let's not get our two discussions mixed up. Nobody died as a result of you hearing me breathing into the microphone, but quite a few people died as a result of the aforementioned incidents which I was discussing, being the potato famine in Ireland, the famine in the 1980s in Ethiopia, and the whole Nelson Mandela thing. Not Nelson Mandela himself causing deaths. I mean, the whole apartheid thing. They were apparently, well, the one... how did you mention it? F.W. de Klerk, the last white president of South Africa, came to Ireland once when I was around 15, and he went for a walk past my school, down by the Dodder River. I didn't see him, but I saw him surrounded. I saw the people who were surrounding him. I saw the Deputy Prime Minister of Ireland at the time, Dick Spring, and I saw someone else, I can't remember who else, various dignitaries who were known to me from the television, because some of us still watch the news, you know. Well, I don't anymore, but I used to watch the news in those days. I'd come up, you'd put on the television at 9 o'clock, and someone would come on RTE television, and you'd say, "Hello, here's the news. Stuff happened." And I'd say, well, I wouldn't say auntie anything. I'd sit there and absorb. Sometimes it's better to just sit and listen and absorb knowledge rather than just answering back at the television. Some people, they sit down and the news comes on, and the headline will say, "Tax is going up tomorrow," and the person who's watching will immediately start shouting, "That's disgraceful, so tax shouldn't go up." Well, there's no point shouting at the newsreader about that. It's just, hold on, that's not right. I don't know. I'll have to check this later. This probably isn't going to sound good. But nonetheless, there's no point shouting back at the newsreader, not least because he or she can't hear you because he's busy reading the news. Although you do occasionally see the occasional comedy sketch show where someone shouts back at the newsreader and then the newsreader shouts back at them. But that's fictional. That's not real at all. I have a rather confused memory from childhood where a well-known Irish newsreader at the time, Don Coburn, came on and stood up in the middle of a news broadcast and said, "I've no trousers, can I have some trousers? I can't continue without my trousers." And you could see under the desk that he had no trousers, and then someone handed him some trousers, and then he got on to news. Now, until a couple of years ago, it never occurred to me that that might have been a comedy sketch show and not a real news programme. So this is why you have to be careful about putting real people into the news and into comedy shows at the same time. We're around the same time. I'm not saying that. Well, you know what I mean. So anyway, no. I don't like this breathing thing that's still going on. Hold on a minute. Ooh. I can either stop breathing or figure out what knobs I have to turn to get the breathing sorted out. Someone's just replied to me on Twitter about that. I have extremely sensitive ears, so probably the average person would not care. That's from, what's his name? I forget his name. He's got a very complicated name with letters and numbers on Twitter. But he's being helpful to me today, and I appreciate it, damn it. I've got sensitive ears, too. I remember back in... in my first year in school, the guy behind me at my desk shouted into my ears, and blood came out of my ears. I suppose that would count as sensitivity, would it? But no, I think he's talking about the fact that he's able to hear stuff. Most people can't hear stuff anymore. I can't hear stuff anymore. I go around with podcasts stuck into my ears all day, every day. And then when someone rings me, I don't even take them out of my ears. I just press a button and I listen to the person talking at me. Because that's what people do. They talk at me. They just come on and say, "Neil, blah, 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 blah." And I say, "Yeah." And they go, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." And I go, "Okay." And then they go, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." And then they say, "So, any news?" And I'll say, "Yeah, there's, well, the guy had a problem with his trousers, apparently. But apart from that, no. Anyway, I'll be down next week sometime if I can. I'm busy listening to podcasts at the moment. Good morning." And then they hang up, and then by the podcast I'm listening to comes back on. I listen to a lot of podcasts, as you might well imagine, including this one. I'll be listening to this one in a few minutes, no doubt. But it's kind of, I feel like the surprise is being spoiled a bit because stuff, I have to go and play with the machine, with the controls now. Good morning.